Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Let me get everything pulled up. Welcome to our online worship. Unfortunately, our Facebook Live is not working right now, so we're glad that you're here with us on Zoom, and welcome to those of us who will join us later when we get the video posted. We're glad to have you. For everybody, if this is your first time or not, just a reminder, everybody is now muted to prevent any audio issues, but you're still invited and encouraged to read along with us and sing along in your homes. Again, you are muted, so you don't have to worry. So you can just let it out. You can sing to your heart's content, and you don't have to worry about anybody else hearing you. So that can be a good thing sometimes. Maybe you don't sing in worship because you're afraid you can't sing. Well, this gives you that privacy moment, and you can still participate in the music and in worship, because even though we're online and it feels a little bit like we're just watching worship, worship is still not a spectator sport, and so that's part of the reason we're keeping the music with us as well. And we highly encourage you to participate. All of our songs today are related. We're going with an Earth Day theme. Earth Day this year is on Wednesday. It's always on the 22nd. So it's right in the middle of the week, and decided to go with it before the actual Earth Day, so you can be reminded and get things set up. There's plenty of stuff out there for a digital Earth Day this year. I don't know if people turned off. It looks like everybody's pretty much turned off your video. Well, if you decide to turn it on and say hi, just so you know, we are recording this service, so you might end up on the picture. And if you do, but that's okay. But just so you know. Are there any joys or concerns that people have? Those of you that are on Zoom with us, you can just put them in the chat window. And you can message either me or you can do everyone. Share those with us. We'll get those and I can include them in the prayer time. At this moment, if you have a candle with you at your side, I encourage you to light it and to take a deep breath and prepare to enter into worship. And we'll start by doing our call to worship. If you have the up in front of you. Jack, you're up.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry.
We ask forgiveness as more of your world is wounded, as people suffer, as species die. You made the people rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Please join us as we sing All Things Bright and Beautiful. Actually, let's get it to start at the beginning. Okay. All Things Bright and Beautiful.
This morning, just as Jesus appeared before his disciples in his resurrected form, still bearing the scars of the crucifixion, this world is wounded deeply. Yet at the same time, there is resurrection and transformation. We are called to care for creation in its beauty and in its woundedness. The resurrection of Jesus offers hope of new life for all of creation and for generations to come. God of creation, fill us with this hope, for in our brokenness, we can do nothing apart from you, but only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
So, for those of you that may not know, this is the 50th anniversary this year of Earth Day, and I wanted to celebrate the 50 years by showing some history. And this video comes from PBS Kids, so if you have any kids that are around with you too, it reaches out to all generations of levels and understanding. So let me pull it up. Actually, got too many windows up. Sorry, guys. Working on it.
April 22nd is Earth Day. It is an opportunity for every person to cherish and protect our planet. In the late 1960s, scientists began to realize our environment was growing weaker and less healthy. Many of our great modern innovations, like trains, cars, planes, and factories, often create pollution and waste. Conservationists and environmentalist pioneers realized that if humans weren't more careful, the planet would get irreversibly damaged and people would have a hard time living here. A senator from Wisconsin,
sorry, it said it paused sharing. Can I just get a nod from Jim? Did the video stop sharing or no? Because it told me it wasn't showing up. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's.
It was there initially and then it stopped.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna try it again.
April 22nd is Earth Day. It is an opportunity for every person to cherish and protect our planet. In the late 1960s, scientists began to realize our environment was growing weaker and less healthy. Many of our great modern innovations, like trains, cars, planes, and factories, often create pollution and waste. Conservationists and environmentalist pioneers realized that if humans weren't more careful, the planet would get irreversibly damaged, and people would have a hard time living here. A senator from Wisconsin named Gaylord Nelson wanted to create a special day for us to acknowledge the state of our planet and work to keep it healthy. He proposed the first Earth Day in 1970. He chose April 22nd so that students could participate through their schools during a season good for outdoor activities. Senator Nelson asked the governors of all 50 states and the mayors of the largest U.S. cities to issue Earth Day proclamations to get people interested. And they were. Earth Day was a huge success. Senator Nelson's idea brought together more than 20 million people nationwide to support one cause, a healthy Earth. The next two Earth Days actually occurred only once a decade, on April 22nd, 1980, and 1990. But since 1990, Earth Day has been celebrated every year and worldwide, with more than 1 billion people planting trees, cleaning up trash, stopping pollution, and encouraging recycling and conservation. Things are looking up for the Earth. What do you and your community do to celebrate Earth Day?
So, as I was watching the video, it doesn't say a lot. We do Earth Day in church because it comes, a bunch of different churches have realized that it's it's a stewardship issue. It's a faith issue. God calls us to be stewards and to take care of creation. And so the liturgy we've used today comes from Creation Justice Ministries, which is a combination of from the National Council of Churches. So people participate in it from the UCC, from the Disciples, the Baptists, the Catholics. It's an interdenominational event. It's something that we can all come together, even if as we maybe view Christ differently, we view God a little differently, we all can come together and agree that creation is important, that God has asked us to take care of it, and that as a society, we have let God down a little bit. So for our scriptures today, I have one scripture. It's Psalm 65. This is a scripture that was translated, the version I'm going to read was translated by theologian Ellen Davis, who specifically does work with the scriptures and agriculture and focuses on creation and care of creation. And I chose this because this psalm and the way she translated it emphasizes that the earth is God's court and that we as humans are privileged to live here. It's a reminder that stewardship does not, when we are given the stewardship of creation, that we don't get to take care of it however we want. We don't get to use and abuse the earth, but rather that we should be satisfied with what the earth gives us. That we should appreciate the generosity of God that gives us food and water, even when we mess up. Psalm 65 reminds us that when we love and care for the land, when we become aware of how fragile it is, and focus on the bigger creative picture, the bigger earth, the bigger community outside of our own needs, we recognize not only that every human is sacred, but that the land, the earth, creation, animals are all sacred as well. When we recognize this sacredness, we both humble ourselves and act in God's image. And so I encourage you to hear this as I read. To you, silence is praise, O God in Zion. And to you, vows are paid. O you who hear prayer before you, all flesh comes. Misdeeds, they are stronger than I am. Our transgressions, you are the one who makes atonement. Privileged are those whom you choose and draw near to dwell in your courts. May we be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. With awesome works in righteousness, you answer us, O God of our salvation. The confidence of all the ends of the earth and the furthest reaches of the sea. He sets firm the mountains in his strength. He is girded with might. He silences the roar of the seas, the roar of their waves, and the din of the nations. Those who inhabit the ends of the earth feel reverent fear at your signs. The reaches of morning and evening, you make them ring with joy. You visit the earth and water it. You abundantly enrich it, God's stream full of water. You set their grain, yes, you set it just so, drenching its furrows, settling its hillocks. You soften it when it with showers. Its growth you bless. You have crowned the year with your goodness, and your wagon tracks drip richness. The pasture of the wilderness The pastures of the wilderness are dripping, and the hills are girdled with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with the flocks, and the valleys robed with grain. They shout out. They even sing. And now let us sing our hymn, Touch the Earth Lightly. I encourage you to really listen or look at the lyrics if you have it in front of you. They're pretty powerful. And listen in the music because this is one song. It actually specifically says that verse 2 should be in a minor key, which Perry did for us in this recording, because it's the second verse is accepting how we misuse our earth. And now, as I said a little bit about the Creation and Justice Ministries, they did a video to introduce their theme and kind of why they chose it, and specifically to bring it into the midst of COVID-19.
I'd like to talk with you today about time and urgency. The Creation Justice community is honoring Earth Day Sunday with the theme of Martin Luther King's sermon on the fierce urgency of now. The time is now to address our climate emergency. COVID-19 is exposing imbalances in God's creation, inequities in our communities, and the urgent need to interrupt business as usual. Unless we end environmental racism with a fierce urgency, communities of color will disproportionately bear the burden of diseases like COVID-19. that prey upon bodies that have borne a lifelong, unequal burden of pollution. It is clear diseases like coronavirus will become more common unless we protect diversity of our species with a fierce urgency. Proposals such as conserving 30% of nature by 2030 once seemed idealistic to many. Now, more of us understand that protecting nature is part of our own survival as well. Now, while much is shut down, old systems are being broken open, and perhaps in that opening, a divine inbreaking can happen, a kairos moment for God's creation. In the New Testament, the Greek word kairos means time, but this sense of time is different than the passing of minutes, which the Greeks call chronos. In the Gospel of John, the sense of the Greek word kairos relates to the coming of Jesus in the fullness of time, with the right actions coming at the right time. As Christians, we are celebrating the Easter season. Embracing Easter joy means living in gratitude for the saving action of Jesus in our world and listening for our call to participate in God's mission to renew the earth. May we find ways to participate in this kairos moment for God's creation and the divine inbreaking into our broken world.
So our theme for today from the Creation Justice Ministries comes from a quote from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He used this quote in two different places, actually, both in when he in as part of his I Have a Dream speech. But he also used it in what's known as his Beyond Vietnam speech. And in both of them, he was urging society to concentrate and focus on the challenges that humanity is facing, and to also look at the systems and contexts of those events, to stop what the power is saying and look at the people. So the quote goes as such. We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. There's no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action. King wanted to remind Americans that at the time that Vietnam's aspirations were part of a global struggle of the developing world and of disadvantaged peoples everywhere. And in the I Have a Dream speech, he was bounding together the destinies of Blacks and whites and all people of color to help people understand justice, to understand that without a just world for one, there is not a just world at all. On both occasions, he wanted to emphasize the fierce urgency of now, the fact that there must be fast, deliberate action coupled with thoughtful analysis and appreciation of the systemic context, of the context of the problem, of understanding that it's not just this immediate problem, but it comes from other problems, other symptoms in our society. It comes from power and greed instead of love. And it felt like an extra important theme, because not only is there this fierce urgency for climate change, we're feeling a fierce urgency to flatten the curve as we face COVID today. make sure I have my notes up. Sorry. I've got multiple screens up going while I try to do this. Give me 1 second and we'll get more in. It's not so much a sermon today, it's more as kind of a conversation. Some thoughts. I originally had the plan to write out a nice, big, long sermon, but in the middle of trying to be happy and excited about Earth Day, there is also reality, and maybe you've felt it. I don't know about you, but I have had my corona breakdown this week for the first time. And I say that to share with you that it's important to acknowledge that no one is really getting through this all hunky-dory. It's hard for everyone. It's okay to not be cleaning your house and getting work done and or exercising and losing weight. It's okay to be snacking and eating whatever you feel like. It's okay to admit that you're sad, that you're frustrated, that you're stressed. With COVID-19, there is this deeper sense of trauma. And we're all feeling it. So that something as simple as a next door neighbor yelling at you to keep your dog off their yard can set off a whole range of emotions. It's okay. We are all human. And I say that also, I promise it all relates, because right now we are in the same time that the followers of Jesus, right after the crucifixion, before they saw Jesus, they were in this moment of frustration and sadness, and they didn't necessarily know where to go next. They were trying to figure out how to keep living. They were trying to find faith and hope. And yet, resurrection happens. The kairos, that moment of God coming in and stepping in when we need it most, transforming the moment. A time when God steps in and reminds us that God is in control, that God is present. That God gives us the Holy Spirit to keep going. God gives us the strength to face the urgency of now. Earth Day is something that's particularly important to me because of my climate background, my meteorology background. It's something that we are truly called to do as stewards. And this moment, there is a sense of urgency when we have 10 years left to fix things before we can't fix them anymore, before we can't even impact the earth. Even in this time of COVID-19 and social distancing, we can still be out and appreciating nature and recycling and trying to reduce our waste and planting trees. In fact, I actually find hope a little bit from the COVID-19, because we flattened the curve, particularly here in Ohio. If you've seen the graphs, now it's not perfect, but people staying at home has changed the world. And I like to think that we can flatten the climate curve a little bit. Maybe not flatten it, but we can slow it down. When we come together as a community, as a nation, we can do powerful things. And God calls us. We can open that space for God to inbreak into the human world. COVID-19, natural disasters, they're not a punishment from God. But they are a consequence for us as humans of how we treat the world, of how we act, whether or not we act as stewards or we act as greedy, selfish people taking all from the earth as opposed to caring and giving back. We're an Easter people, a time of resurrection. It reminds us that in the midst of death and fear, God can step in and do amazing things. And that God can work through us with the Holy Spirit. That God has taught us how to take care of God's world, to find justice, to take care of all people, to not separate out some, but to welcome all, to love all. We are called on this week, in this Earth Day, as people of God, to take care of the earth, take care of creation, and take care of one another. God can and will do a new thing. We get to be there and participate. And when we do, the kingdom of heaven comes a little bit sooner here on earth. I encourage all of you, I will be posting throughout the week on Facebook different things that you can do to participate in Earth Day. In fact, our Interfaith Power and Light, which is related to the UCC, is going to be doing several different virtual activities. They're calling the whole week as a Faith Week for the Earth. I encourage you to check it out. See what you can do at home. Here at the church, the original plan, thanks to Howard letting me know, was to plant trees during On Earth Day, as that is the UCC is a national organization is counting how many trees we could plant for Arbor Day. Obviously, we can't all gather at the church to plant the trees, but once we are no longer need to separate, the trees will be planted, approximately 4 of them, to replace the ones that were cut down at the church a couple years ago. Something as simple as planting trees, giving back to Mother Earth, showing that we care for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. I will do the pastoral prayer and then will come the Lord's Prayer, and I encourage you again to join in from your home. Lord, the wounds of the world are too deep for us to heal. We lift up the sick in body and mind, as well as the withered in soul and spirit. We lift up the victims of greed and injustice, as well as the prisoners of grief and heartache. We ask for your care and mercy upon all of us, but especially Bethia, and prayers for peace and comfort for Shelley, the loss of her sister. Instill compassion within us for those suffering from injustice. Make us generous with the resources you have entrusted us. Help us to give thanks for creation that you have given us, the blessings you have given us, including spring and a curve starting to flatten. Let your work of rescue be done in us and through us all, as we pray the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are still being church. We are still functioning as church. Even though we're separated, we are still doing the work of the church. And we give thanks for those who have continued to send in their offering. And we encourage you to keep doing so if you're able. And I'm going to share my screen. If you don't want to mail in your offering, you can always go online. I think if you go online, you can see here on the screen, this is our main webpage. And if you scroll down here, there's a give button. And you can give your offering. It goes directly to the church. But as I say every week, if you want to mail your checks in, Sandy does come in about once a week. We give thanks for that. So the mail is collected. Checks are collected, and germs don't come on checks, or at least so they still say. So we thank you for your tithes and offerings and blessings. And also, yes, Jim put the link in the Zoom chat as well, if you would like to access it that way. And now let us sing our closing hymn, We Cannot Own the Sunlit Sky. And now hear this message of benediction adapted from Alison Saltwell's Not Ordinary Times. The words, "Something is not right," echo within our souls. The cry of creation, the voice of God. Recognition that these are not ordinary times may be the path toward our resurrection. So we bathe in courage, grasp for community, leave the shelter of business as usual, and stare into the face of this unknown future. We leave our little boxes and cast off our blinders, and the bright light of creation's pain nearly blinds us, and grief nearly chokes us, but not quite. Because when there's enough of us stumbling around, trying to make a way, sooner or later we'll begin to connect. And the power of that connection explodes in hope. And a different way can be made. And life can flourish in new and extraordinary ways. Do you believe? Do you dare? May it be so.